Welcome to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. My name is Russell Brunson, and I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur, but with a twist. You see, 50% of my time, I'm the CEO of ClickFunnels, helping over 100,000 brands to grow their companies with funnels. And the other 50% of my time, I'm actually in the trenches using ClickFunnels to grow the startups I believe in. During this podcast, I'll take you behind the scenes and show you how we are bootstrapping ClickFunnels and my other businesses from startup to nine figures and beyond. Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. You guys are in for a treat. This is one of those lucky, rare moments where I am driving down to the Inner Circle meeting. And so we got some time to hang out and go deep on some things I'm thinking about and hopefully have some fun. So if you guys are up for that, let me know. I wish there was a way to get feedback in real time on podcasts. That's one of my favorite things about, you know, Facebook Lives or Instagram Lives is like you're getting feedback in real time from everybody. Where it's a little bit harder through podcasts, but I'm just imagining you guys are pumped and you're fired up and you're going crazy and you're so excited like I am. So hopefully you are. If not, it's time to get in that state, time to get in that mode, time to get in that mood. In fact, today we are going to be talking about moods, which, you know, who knows? Maybe hopefully with this. So those of you been following along, we just recently finished the Secrets of Success launch, man, which was so fun. Something I've been dreaming about for almost 3 years now and talking about and sharing and, you know, all the ideas and everything. And now 3 years later, it's come to fruition and it's been launched and we've got a lot of new members. You know, it's whenever you launch something, people are like, what's your goal? What's your number? I'm like, I don't even know. If I got 10,000 members, that'd be insane. That'd be, you know, $100 a month. That's $1 million a month. We did not hit that goal, but we got close to half that goal, which is awesome. Especially for the first 2 week launch. And then we're going to, you know, start buying ads and growing and scaling and all the other things. But as of right now, just really, really excited. So anyway, but a part of the launch is inside of the members area, we're doing a book club. In fact, anyway, God, I wish I could just spend like 2 hours with you guys. So Inner Circle this morning, we're heading down. I'm heading down right now and I'm doing like a 2-hour session this morning going through everything involved in the Secrets of Success launch, what we did, why we did it, all kind of stuff. So we have some really cool things that, again, I would need 2 hours to go into it. So I'm not going to be able to share all those things. But one of the big pieces of the launch was, I'm trying to get people, like there's this concept called consumption theory. How do you get your people to learn how to consume something, right? And, I remember back, man, this is back almost 20 years ago. I was flying an airplane and Alex Mendojan had made a teleseminar or something teaching this concept he called consumption theory. I remember I had transcribed, I printed it out, I had it on the plane with me and I was reading it flying somewhere. I don't even know, but I do remember reading it. He talked about how like the goal is like, how do you get people to actually consume what it is you're selling, right? And it was interesting because he talked about, I think it was Pert Plus or what way, some shampoo company, right? The shampoo company people were using and they're washing their hair once a week and they're like, oh, this is good, but how do we get them to consume more? And so they added on the bottle, like, you know, use daily. And then all of a sudden consumption went from once a week to once a day. And then they're like, how do we increase consumption again? So they added, rinse, repeat or something like that. So then people start using it 3 or 4 times while they're in the shower and increase consumption and grew their company, right? And so it was interesting though, but it's like, how do you get people to consume? And one of the biggest things you do to get people to consume is to actually use the product, right? And so the same thing that we do inside ClickFunnels, right? Someone comes in, we have, different challenges and things to get people to actually consume the product, to start using it. If they start using it, then they're going to stick with it, right? And it's interesting because, in fact, you'll see, we're about 3 weeks away from launching the brand new One Funnel Away Challenge. And the entire goal of that, challenge is what I call Operation Consumption. How do we get people to consume the product? Because if they consume, they never leave. And so that's the goal. But anyway, I digress. So in the middle of the launch, I wanted to get people to actually consume the product. If they're not consuming the product, they're not likely to use the product. And so we did a little mini challenge in the middle of the launch, which was all about the book club. So each month we're picking a new book. And so of all the books that I was most excited about reading, of the 15,000 books I bought in the last 2 years, the one I was most excited to read personally and to go deep in was a book called How to Get Anything by Elsie Lincoln Benedict, who is my favorite author. She's amazing. Anyway, and it's this book set and there's a whole story behind it. We found it and like there were missing booklets and anyway, this whole thing. So there's a whole story behind it. So we launched the story. And then from there, we launched a challenge and it was just a 3-day challenge where someone can register and come in and do, you know, to go deep on the book with me. And so we promoted that to everybody. We ended up getting, man, almost 4,000 people somewhere in there to register for this little mini challenge. And they registered for the challenge. The thank you page, we had a Mifky offer, so Linchpin 101 that worked. I've got a lot more people to join through that. So that was a useful exercise as well. But then number two is it gave me the ability to help them to consume, to see the value of what we were actually selling. And so what we did is day number one, I had Joe Vitale, who's a huge Elsie Lincoln Benedict fan, huge book fan, who, you know, loved this book. And so me and him got on and we talked about the book and why it's so cool and Elsie and like, and so we geeked out on two of the books from the book set, which is, you know, two books, but basically two chapters. And then, the next day, Eileen Wilder got on with me and we also had, Heather Benedict, who's Elsie Lincoln Benedict's great granddaughter. They jumped on and we talked about more stuff. We covered book, three and four, which is exciting. And the next day, Annie Grace come on. We talked about book number one and two. And each day was just basically, it wasn't never a hard push. It was just like, here's this, you know, here's what the book's about and why it's cool. And like getting people excited. And like, we're doing this book club. Like, go sign up and pushing back the members area, pushing back the members area. Just keep pushing people in. And so what happened from that is people who are in the members area who are already members are like, oh, this is what we do inside of Secrets to Success is the book club. And we get to hang out. We get to talk about books. We get to like, oh, this is actually really, really cool. Right. So they consumed it, hopefully enjoyed the process and got them into the book club, which actually starts today. As of the time that I'm recording this. It's a 7-week book club. We're going to be going through the 14 books inside this book set, two books each week, and it's going to be awesome. And so that's kind of what's happening right now. Is today they're all starting chapter one and chapter two. So anyway, that's exciting. But they got people to actually consume the product, right? And then at the end, obviously, we did a push to get people into the book club and sold some more memberships. But mostly it was to help them to experience the consumption of like, how cool can this be as a group of us talk about a book? And one of the things we're going to be doing is doing something like this once a month to continue to train consumption. So it won't be just a one-time thing, but a continual consumption training mechanism. So that's kind of how we're going to be structuring that. It's going to be really fun. For me and for everybody. And so, but anyway, I digress. The thing I wanted to actually talk about on this call was none of this. So hopefully you're on this podcast, but hopefully you got some value from that for yourselves. What I wanted to actually talk about was more specifically the first book in Elsie's book series. So, and maybe this is me secret ninja-ing to push you guys to go join the book club at secretsofsuccess.com/roundpegs. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe not. But if you're not part of it, you should be. Like, what are you thinking? It's insane. It's so cool over there. Anyway, so that's kind of what we're doing over there. But I want to talk about book number one because it's had like a profound impact on me. I've been thinking about it so much over the last couple of days. And yeah, and so I want to talk to you about it because I keep thinking about it. I want to talk to somebody about it. So it's interesting because most of the books I'm buying and studying, right? The time period's like from 1850s, 1950s, kind of in that window. And you could even shrink. It's closer to, you know, 1900s to 1930s. Like that's kind of more so the window. But this was a moment in time that was known as the New Thought Movement. And I was talking about how like, you know, there's different movements that we hear about, especially from success and philosophy and things like that, right? There's like the Stoic era, Stoic movement. There's the Enlightenment. There's the Renaissance. There's different things, right? And it's fun because Ryan Holiday has been obsessed with the Stoic movement. He talks about that all the time. He talks about, you know, Marcus Aurelius and Seneca and all these amazing writers and emperors and people during that time who were the philosophers who left some amazing principles behind for all of us. And so, I've been watching what Ryan's doing. It's so cool. And like what he's been doing is what I want to do from this time period of like the 1900s, 1930s, like the New Thought Movement. It's interesting because most of the writers in the New Thought Movement are all talking about thinking and changing life. You know, think and grow rich. Think and, you know, it's all thought things. And, which is cool. And I love that. Like, I love thought. I love subconscious mind. I love, like, all that stuff. Like, oh, I could geek out on that for years. Like, it's my favorite stuff to talk about, right? But what Elsie leads the book in, I remember, like, actually, when I first read it, I was like, she's off. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's crazy. But she said in chapter number one of How to Get Anything You Want. So this whole book about how to get anything you want, right? Which, again, is one of my favorite books in the history of all time. But anyway, in chapter number one, she talks about how, like, it's not your thoughts that affect everything. She's like, it's your mood. It's your mood about something, your feelings about something. And it's your feelings, not your thoughts, that affect what you do and what you don't do. And again, first I kind of fought that. But then, as I've been talking more and more about that for the last couple months since I read that, and then the book club this week is fun, actually, with day number three with Annie Grace. We talked about this a lot. And it was interesting because we talked about how, like, if you think about anything in your life, you already have a mood associated with it. a mood or a feeling, let's say. Mood may not connect with you. I know that was a harder word for me to connect with. Feelings was easier to connect with, but mood's the same thing, right? Your mood or your feelings. And so when you hear something, like you hear, I want to make $1 million, there's instantly a mood or a feeling associated with that inside of your subconscious mind, inside your body, that you can feel, right? And it's based on the thought seeds that have been planted throughout your life. And so you see this a lot of times where someone who grew up in a successful home, where their parents are successful, their family, everyone's successful, like for them, like making money's easy. When they hear something like, I want to make $1 million, they're like, cool, I can go do that. Like, it's just because, you know, decades of these thought seeds of money's easy, you know, making money's good. Like, it's good to have money. Like, those things have been planted for so long. That's just like the mood or the feeling about money is like, oh, cool. And it's easier for them to do it. Whereas other people who their whole life, you know, maybe they grew up in poverty or they had parents who struggled or whatever, and they've heard that like it's hard to live paycheck by paycheck. Like, you know, only people who have money are people who are cheating and stealing or like whatever. They hear these things, right? And they hear these thoughts that are planted. I also call them thought seeds. And these thought seeds are planted in your subconscious mind over time. So now 20 years later, you come to Funnel Hacking Live, you see all these people winning 2 comic club awards, and consciously you're like, I want to win a 2 comic club award. But then subconsciously, the mood that you have attached to making $1 million has been planted over and over and over again. It's just like, oh, like you are not going to be someone who can make $1 million. You know, like it's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be good. You're going to have to cheat people. You're going to have to steal. You're going to, like, whatever, all the things that your subconscious mind or your body has now believed because of years of suggestion and conditioning. And so that's the interesting thing. And this is true in any area of life. So I started thinking about with everything in my life. I started thinking about like, with each of my kids, what is the thought feelings, like what is the feelings, the mood that come up when I think about each of these kids, which is really fascinating thing to do. And I thought about my wife, I thought about my friends, I thought about situations like going to the office or going to my library or going home after work or going to the wrestling room and going to the gym. Like, what are the moods associated with me going to the gym right now? And these things can change throughout life, right? But it's like, what's the mood you instantly have? So I've been actually sitting down writing these things out. And it's fascinating when I become conscious and aware of it. I'm like, oh my gosh, every time I think about this person or this situation, like I feel this way. I feel sick to my stomach. I feel anxious. I feel, you know, or I feel excited. I feel like enthusiastic. I feel like there's a feeling associated, right? And the feeling is going to determine what you do or you don't do more so than your thoughts. Your thoughts like, I want to make $1 million. Like consciously, I'm going to make $1 million. You're consciously going to do this thing. But subconsciously, you've got 20 years of suggestion and conditioning telling you that making $1 million will make you a bad person, right? Like, how do you overcome that? And anyway, so that was like the fascinating thing. And so then my question has been that. It's like, well, how do you overcome that? How do you, if I've got all this mood or this thing, how do I change that? And there's a couple really, I mean, there's so many things. We could go talk about this for days. But there were a couple really cool things that were interesting to me. Number one was, talked about how these thought seeds, these are seeds that are placed in the garden of your mind, right? Your subconscious is like a garden, and it doesn't grow by itself. Like, you place these thought seeds, and these thought seeds develop the moods and develop the feelings associated with something, right? And so, it was interesting because, this goes back now to Earl Nightingale, who's, you know, 1950s. It's a little later, but, still one of my favorites. So he had, in fact, last year's Circle Meeting, I was like on the same drive. I was telling you guys the story about, The Strangest Secret and Earl Nightingale and how that whole recording and thing became, anyway, so go back and listen to that episode. It was really cool. Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. That's the name of the record he recorded. I did a whole podcast episode last time I was driving talking about the story behind that. But anyway, in the audio, The Strangest Secret, if you watch it, he talks about how our subconscious mind is like a garden and we're planting these seeds. And it's like, it doesn't matter what seeds you plant. You can plant seeds, like nightshade. You can plant nightshade, which is a deadly plant. It'll grow well, right? Cause it doesn't care what you plant. It just grows, like it amplifies and grows the thing you plant. So if you plant deadly seeds, it'll grow deadly things. But if you plant positive things, then it'll grow positive things. It doesn't matter it doesn't care what you plant. It's gonna grow whatever you plant. And so as I was thinking about this with Elsie and our moods, and like, you know, right now we're thinking about, we're planting these, like, throughout time, all these like thought seeds have been planted, right? Which is what is cultivated the feelings and moods we already have. So the first thing is understanding, like, we are the gardener. Like, we are able to cultivate and to prune our gardens and to dig out the weeds, all that kind of stuff. So the first thing is, after you become aware of it, you're like, okay, I have this garden. How do I change this? And part of it was just like, you know, like, let's say she talks about how like our patterns, like these subconscious ruts, right? Where you're going through the garden over and over and over again with the same, with the same tractor, it builds these deep ruts, right? If you keep going over those same things, then it's going to keep the ruts keeping deeper and deeper and deeper. So the way for you to stop going over that is to just stop cultivating it. So stop planting those seeds. And if you stop planting maybe the analogy breaks down a little bit, but basically it's like, if you want to change the feelings that are being, that are turning into these patterns, these ruts in your subconscious mind, you got to stop putting things into it, right? You got to stop fueling it. You got to stop planting the seed or whatever it is, right? And if you stop it, it'll grow over. And that was like one thing, just stopping. So it's like being aware of like, and I was thinking about this with one of my kids, by the way, who I love immensely, but it's been causing a lot of stress and anxiety in my life for the last, few years. But like, I was thinking about the mood that I feel. And I was like, oh my gosh, when I think about that this amazing child of mine, my mood is like stress and anxiety and worry and all these kind of things. And so every time I think the name, boom, it comes up again. And it's like me going back over the ruts to dig this pattern deeper and deeper and deeper. So number one thing I have to do if I want to stop this and actually be able to serve him in a way that I can, because I can't serve him from the incorrect moods, I have to become aware of it and then stop doing what I'm doing. So when I think about them, I have to stop going into this pattern. And if I stopped going into this pattern of stress, worry, anxiety, all that kind of stuff, then like it'll grow over, like I don't know how she said it. She said it really cool, but basically my mind, like the visual I have is like it'll grow back over and these ruts will disappear. So that's the first thing, stop fueling it, right? Stop giving it time, energy, attention, energy, stuff like that. I can stop doing that. So that's number one. So every time I think about this person now, I've been consciously thinking, like, you're thinking about him, I gotta stop thinking about like, and instead, now here's where thought comes in. She keeps calling them thought seeds. You start planting these thought seeds into your mind. So you plant these thought seeds into your mind of like, oh my gosh, I love this person. I'm so grateful. I'm like thinking about all the cool things and the best things and start planting these thought seeds. And by planting the thought seeds, it starts growing a different mood, right? Because if I think about, anyway, a kid or a situation or whatever, and you know, money, relationships, whatever your thing is that you're trying to pursue, and the thoughts are wrong, it gets really, really hard to pursue it. So it's like to pursue money in a state where you're scared of money because your afraid it's going to destroy you. You cannot pursue that successfully. It's impossible, right? So first thing, you have to stop giving it energy. You have to catch yourself in the pattern, stop giving it energy. And then in that time, that's when you plant the thought seeds of the positive energy. Because now you come in and you have the positive thing. Like if you can change it to like, oh, money actually is really cool. This is the tool. I do deserve it. I am worthy of it. Like this isn't something for people who are evil. This is for people who are good. This is like, you know, you start planting those thought seeds over time. That's the plant that will start growing. Now as you're pursuing making money, your subconscious mind is not going to be self-imploding you and keeping you from being successful and all the things that happen traditionally because you've cultivated the garden correctly. Does that make sense? And so like, again, when I read that from her, I was just like, it was so new. And initially I was like, no, like my thoughts are all that matters, but it's not. It's like, it's the seeds have been planted for so long. It's like they create the moods and the moods are actually what dictates where you're doing and where you're going. So it's learning how to stop the mood. Plant new thought seeds, let the old stuff grow back over and consciously choose those things. Anyway, so I don't know about you, but for me, it gave me so much power, like understanding that. And so for me, I'm like sitting down, like writing out, like, these are the things, these are all the situations, these are the moods and feelings I have associated with them. And I got to figure out how to stop those things and plant the actual thought seeds that I want. And over time, cultivate that. And it'll change the mood that I have, the predominant mood or feeling I have about a topic or a person or a thing or a situation. And then when I enter that situation through that lens, through that feeling, now I can actually be successful. Because your subconscious mind will find ways to self-sabotage for you if it believes that you are going into danger. I see this all the time. People who are like, I'm going to be successful. I'm a 2-comma-cup winner. And their subconscious mind is looking for every way possible to destroy them, to pull them down, to like make sure that they don't pursue this thing. You know, like they go to Funnel Hacking Live and they consciously decide, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to move forward in the coaching program. And then within days or sometimes weeks of joining, their sub is like has convinced, has helped them understand, like, you are not going to be successful. This is not going to be good for you. And it's helping them to figure out how to fail and back out. And like, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have this. And like all the excuses come up because your subconscious mind has been told for 20 years through suggestion and through all these things that, you're not capable of doing this, or that if you do this, it's going to be bad, or, you know, there's fear, there's pain associated, and it's going to try to get you to not do it. And those are the people who don't have success. The people who do have success are those who are able to rewrite and change the moods and the feelings. So how do you rewrite them? So number one is like, it's like in that window between when the, when the thought comes and the reaction comes. It's like you got to plant the thought seeds. And there's a phrase that was used a lot in the early 1900s that people don't use nowadays, but they call it auto-suggestion. And so suggestion is like, again, you get suggested stuff all the time. People around you, from music, from movies, like they're all like media, they're all suggesting things. Social media suggesting things to your mind, right? And your subconscious mind is taking these suggestions and planting these little thought seeds. And that's what's interesting. So that's number one. Then you step back from that. What auto-suggestion is you consciously saying, I'm going to plant these thought seeds. I'm going to plant these things, right? And so now it's like we're coming back saying, okay, what are the thought seeds I need to plant here to cultivate what I actually want? And that is where the power is, auto-suggestion, right? And so what Elsie talks about in book number four, was she goes deep into auto-suggestion, which is interesting because Napoleon Hill talks a lot about auto-suggestion. I think at the time that was like the thing that people talked about. And today, again, you don't hear people talk about that, but auto-suggestion is this idea or this concept of figuring out the things that you want to be thinking and saying and planting those things in. Tony Robbins calls these incantations. Other people call them affirmations, positive affirmations, whatever you want to do. But it's, you know, and some of those things are cheesy. They come off as like motivational, like you can do it, but it's not that. It's auto-suggestions. Like, what are the things, like the thought seeds I need to plant in my mind to cultivate the moods and the feelings I need. So when I go in the situations, I'm able to perform. So anyway, oh, stuff's so much fun, you guys. I'm loving it. It's interesting. It's like, I've been doing this now. I've been 20 years now teaching business entrepreneurship and I love it. But I'm also the point where like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I feel like even the linchpin's like, this is kind of like the last, like my last big, like new framework innovation. And now it's like, I feel like the way I'm going to be able to serve entrepreneurs more so is less of like more frameworks, more ideas, more concepts. You know, I've given you guys .com secrets and expert secrets and traffic secrets. I've given you FHL. I've given you every course. I've given you the perfect webinar. I've given you, all the things I got, the linchpin now, like all the stuff I got. And it's like, I don't feel like I'm going to develop more frameworks inside of marketing. I feel like what you guys have, what we have, I mean, we can all change the world in those things. I think the way I'm going to serve entrepreneurs in the next level is really helping more so with this stuff. And so that's what I'm excited for. So anyway, I'm thinking about starting a new podcast. I'm going to continue to do Marketing Secrets because it's fun, but I'm having this weird crossover where like today, for example, I did talk about marketing for the first 10 minutes or, you know, 5 or 6 minutes, but I went more into success and personal development and stuff like that. And I kind of want to, I kind of want to separate these two different places. So if you are like hardcore, like just want the marketing stuff, you can get it here. But if you do want more of the success stuff, you could get it something more separate. So I'm contemplating launching a Secrets of Success podcast where I just go deep in these kind of things. So I'm curious, how many of you guys would be interested in that? If you would be, let me know. Take a screenshot of this and tag me and social, whatever. Say, Russell, yes, please. Please do the Secrets of Success podcast. We want some more of this. Or if you're like, no, this is boring. I just want marketing stuff. Tell me how to sell more crap. Then I get that too. Let me know. But these are things I'm most passionate about, most excited for right now and excited to share. So thinking about launching another podcast, and I would do basically one a week of marketing stuff, one a week of Secrets of Success. And then that way you get to pick one or both. And honestly, I think, you know, the goal of Secrets of Success is to deal with the psychological battle inside of our minds. Tony Robbins says that, you know, everything is 80% psychology, 20% like the tactics. And I feel like Marketing Secrets is the 20% is the tactics of how to do the thing, whereas Secrets of Success is the psychology, the 20% inside your brain to help unlock what you need to do so you can be successful. So anyway, that's my thoughts. I'm not committed to it yet, but I'm thinking about it. So it'd be a lot of fun. So all right, with that said, I am almost to Inner Circle. I'm going to go end this podcast right now. I'm going to go hang out with those guys for the next 2 days of Inner Circle, and then I got 3 days with the Atlas Category King group. So I'm going to go do that, and hope you guys are enjoying life and enjoying business and personal development, all the things. I know we're in a crazy, sad time, and I feel like there's a lot of stress and anxiety and a lot of, I don't know, it's definitely a hard season right now, I think, for most of us. And I think that the best thing we can be doing is creating and growing and changing people's lives and trying to bring positivity and hope in a world that has little right now. So, I'm going to try to do that. I encourage you to do as well. With that said, I appreciate you all. Thanks for being part of this movement, part of what we do. And I'll talk to y'all soon. Bye, everybody.